There is wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Some of you may be struggling to really believe that because you're in a place of discouragement and wishing that there was some way forward that you could see. And I just want to say to you again, there is power in the blood of the Lamb. If you think with me for a few moments about your life, there was a day, it's a birthday, a day that you were born. How many years have you been living now? You're still here. That's good. You won't always be here. Your life on earth is limited to a span. After the message this morning, Cindy Grimshaw was talking to me. She said, it's like our life is the dash on the gravestone. There's a date, and then there's another date, and in between there's a dash. That's life. That's our life, isn't it? How would you, if you were to come up with a couple of words, what are the first emotions that kind of rise to the surface when you think about the life that you have lived? Is it gratitude? Is it regret? Is it joy? Contentment? Maybe disappointment? All kinds of things might come to the surface as we think about our life up until this day. You think about your childhood, how your life began. It's a different story for all of us. Some of you grew up in a home where you felt very secure and very loved. Some of you grew up in a home where it was different than that, where you felt neglected and perhaps even abused. Some of you grew up in a home where there was poverty. Some of you grew up in a home where there was privilege. Many of us grew up in a home somewhere in between that spectrum. And as you grew up and these things began to shape you, you began more and more to make decisions, to think about the future, to think about what you wanted to do with your life, what kind of work you wanted to do, what kind of education you hoped to receive, what kind of person you wanted to spend the rest of your life with. And you began to think about your future and you began to make plans. And as you look back on your life this morning and think about your life, perhaps you look back and think, I've seen many of those things happen. But maybe you're here and you look back and say, hardly any of that has happened. Our life is shaped by decisions that we make, but it's also shaped by things that we have no control over. Suddenly we find things going in a direction that we would never have foreseen. Perhaps the person who once stood next to us and pledged that they would love us till death would part, in fact, turned away from us and rejected us. Or perhaps there's a long-term illness that's come into your life. Or perhaps for many years you've found yourself to be a caregiver, a role that you never anticipated. Or perhaps you've known a point in your life where there was a deep financial loss, and that's kind of shaped things from that point onward. There's just all kinds of things that come into our life that catch us off guard. We didn't know they were going to happen, but there they are. And they're now kind of the story of who we are. And as we look at our life, it's taken strange twists and turns along the way. And some of it's planned and some of it's just going to happen. But here we are on this Sunday morning. The sun came up and here we are. It's another day of our life. We're going to live today by God's grace and see this day through. And then if God so wills, tomorrow morning we'll wake up and it'll be another day. And that's the way life works, isn't it? There's a dailiness to it. And every day we face decisions. Many of them are not major decisions. But there are decisions about how we're going to live our life. And sometimes we think very consciously about those decisions, but sometimes we just fall into habits. And so life just kind of happens to us. But we all have a life to be lived. Ephesians 4:1. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. That's the way it's translated in the NIV. You may have a translation that puts it slightly different, but I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Now, last Sunday morning, it was an ordination day, and in the evening we had that wonderful ordination service for Dustin. And in the morning, I was preaching out of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul identifies the call of God on his life. He says of himself, I am Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. That's who I am. I am Paul. I am called to serve and gladly serve the one who is my Lord. I'm called to serve the church in the role of an apostle. And I see my life as set apart for the gospel. That's God's calling on Paul's life. That's who the letter is from. When he gets down in Romans chapter 1 to verse 7, he tells us who he's addressing when he says, I am writing to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. And so we talked last week about the fact that there are none of us who are followers of Jesus Christ who are not called of God. Even if you are not called into some kind of vocational ministry role, every one of us are called to be ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us are called to be God's holy people, saints of God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 6, Paul had said, "To you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ." So if you're a child of God, you're called to belong to Jesus Christ. You're called to be a minister of the gospel. You are called to be a saint of God. God's call is upon you. And now Paul is saying to the Ephesians, live life. Get up in the morning and live life in a manner that is worthy of the call of God that's on your life. Now, in the book of Ephesians, Paul, in fact, has a lot to say about how we live our life. He goes on to say in Ephesians 4:17, you must no longer live. Don't live your life as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. In chapter 5, verse 2 of Ephesians, he says, live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Ephesians 5:8, live as children of light. Live your life as children of light. Ephesians 5:15, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. There's a lot of instruction about the kind of life that we are to live. On this Communion Sunday, we're aware of the fact that in our church doctrine, we believe that there are two sacraments. There's the sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of communion. That is, that they are external, visible symbols of some sacred reality. In the case of baptism, the sacrament symbolizes our death with Christ and our resurrection with Christ. In the case of communion, there's a symbol here that speaks of the new covenant that's in Christ's blood and His death for us. And I was thinking about this call to live a life worthy of the calling of God on us. I was thinking, you know, really for us, all of life needs to be lived as a sacrament. So as I began to think, what do you call this message that I'm going to be preaching this morning? As I thought through several things, I kind of settled on the sacrament of living. And then later in the week, I thought, you know, that sounds awfully familiar. Feels like I've preached a message entitled that before. Now, I am terrible at keeping good records and keeping sermons. I just discover they don't preach well the second time around. So I don't always keep track of them. I have one file, literally, in my file. It's called Keepers. And the rest of them just kind of disappear, and they're never to be heard from again. And I was trying to remember, have I used that sermon title before? So I couldn't recall. And I finally thought, I know I've heard that. So I actually went and Googled it, and then it dawned on me. It is the title of chapter 10 of A.W. Tozer's book, The Pursuit of God. The last chapter he calls The Sacrament of Living. Now, I'd like to think that the explanation for that is that Tozer's mind and my mind just are following the same trajectory. But in fact, probably somewhere in the recesses of my mind, I remembered that from having read it in that last chapter. But in that chapter of Tozer's book, The Pursuit of God, he focuses on the verse from 1 Corinthians 10:31 that says, "So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." And he talks about the fact that we tend to make categories in our life, and there's a category that's marked spiritual, and there's a category that's marked secular, and we do over here in the spiritual category is Bible reading, prayer, singing songs of worship, going to church, it's all the, you know, having my devotions, all those things. And then there's the other stuff that we have to do, which is mowing the lawn, unloading the dishwasher, taking care of the kids, going to work, earning a living. It's all the rest of the stuff that's secular. And Tozer is making the point that we are called, in fact, to do all of our living as a sacrament to the Lord. It's all of it is sacred. There is nothing in our life, if we are a child of God, that is not sacred. Everything we are called to be. We are made by God as whole people. He created us as whole people. Body, soul, mind, personality, spirit, everything. He made us, created Adam and Eve as whole people. When they fell into sin, sin affected the wholeness of their person. Body, soul, spirit, mind, personality, will, every part of them, every part of us is infected by sin and spoiled by sin. When God redeems us, he redeems us as a whole person. Every part of us is redeemed. One day we're going to be resurrected. We're going to be resurrected as whole people. There won't be any part of us that will be missing. Body, soul, spirit, mind, personality, all of that. God made all of that. So as we are living this life here on earth, we're being challenged to live it in a way that's worthy of the call of God on our lives. So everything that we do becomes part of that sacrament of praise to the Lord. Everything we do is sacred. You might say, well just help me here, Pastor. Right? How do I do that? How do I live that way? Well, there's no formula. I can't give you five things and say, do these and that's it. But I can take you to just two passages of Scripture. I'm just going to read them and make one or two comments. The first is later in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and following, where Paul tells us, be very careful then how you live. Pay attention to the way you're living your life today, this day, and then tomorrow, and the next day. The way you live your life matters. It matters to God. So be very careful. You're believers now. You're Christ followers now. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And if we are not living as those who are filled with the Spirit, it will not be possible for us to live a life that is worthy of the calling of God. We need to be those who are continually seeking the fullness of God's Holy Spirit in us, so that it's not us, it's Him. It's Him living within us. It's His work, not ours. You see, if we're not careful, we can read a verse that says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, and think, yeah, I do need to do better. I do need to try harder. I do need to kind of turn over a new leaf. I do need to straighten some stuff out. But that's not, that'll only get us so far and no farther. That'll always end in futile discouragement. We must know the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life if we are to be able to possibly live in a manner that's worthy of God's call. Let me take you to one other verse. It's well known. Some of you have committed to memory. It's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. That is, I, the old me, the old Saul of Tarsus, that old man, that old nature, that old pre-Christ Saul of Tarsus has been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, when I get up in the morning and face the day, when I make those decisions throughout the day about what I'm going to do and how I'm going to spend money and who I'm going to spend my time with and all those decisions throughout the day, that life which I now live in the body, I'm living it by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's a call of God on your life. If you're a Christian, there's a call of God on your life. Live a life worthy of that calling. The life which we now live in this body, this daily life, for this brief lifespan that God gives us, this dash between those two dates, we must live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We must live as those who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God so that it's not our work but his. So we come this morning to the table of the Lord and we see here again this reminder. Do this in remembrance of me. There is one who died. There's power in the blood. There is a new covenant in the blood of the Lamb. There's a body that was broken, and as we eat of it, we receive this gift of this life of God. It's his life to be lived in us. Would you bow with me in prayer? And I'm going to ask those who are serving communion if they will come right now. Man can be seated here. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for your work in us. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, come, we pray. Fill us with divine life. Lord, some of us have been trying to live life on our own. We've been trying to figure it out. We've been trying to do better and turn over a new leaf and figure out how to walk in victory, and it's futile. Lord, we are desperate for your presence so that the life we live in this body, we're living by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, as we come now to the table of the Lord, I pray that you will meet us here, that we'll cry out to you. We need you. Father, thank you for your presence. We do this in remembrance of you. The blood that was shed. The cry, "It is finished," which is a cry of our victory. In Jesus, praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. when he died, you were included. God the Father sent the Son for you. You're part of that world that God so loved. Not just the world in general, but you particularly. And then the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks for it, and then he broke it. And he said, "This is my body and it's for you. It's for you. Now, eat of it. Shall we eat of it together?" Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just a moment, we're going to share the cup together. And then after we do that, the worship team is going to come back and just play and sing some quiet songs. And there'll be opportunity for us to just to pray. And you might be here and you might want someone to pray with you. Maybe there's a need in your life, whether it's for God's healing touch in your body or you're facing some challenge. And maybe even the thought of living a life worthy of the calling is daunting to you. You're feeling defeated in that. There's something that you just can't seem to win over. We would just whatever the need might be in your life, we just would be glad to pray with you. And so after, when we come to that time in just a few moments, we just want it to be easy for people to come and join us here at the front, and we'll just some folks will gather with you and we'll pray together. And we want to see some victories won. And we want to see God's healing touch on the sick and his saving grace toward those who are in need of that. And so let's just expect that God is here to move and to answer prayer and to meet us. There's power in the blood. There's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. After supper, Jesus took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant that's in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let's drink of it together. And ask the worship team to come, and as they come, let's stand and just remain prayerful. Praying where you are. If you'd like some folks to pray with you, you come, and we'll be glad to do that as we meet God in this place.